Chapter 12, 30 Days to Breakthrough. Whenever I find a miraculous 30-day cure in a book I've purchased, I instantly toss it out. I am not an advocate of 30-day plans. In fact, I detest them. Which is obviously why I designed one for myself within days of being introduced to the laws of deliberate creation. Now, having said that, I have to tell you somewhat red-faced that while those incredible 30 days turned my life around by giving me proof that change was possible, the first 10 days were a nightmare. In fact, working through those days was the hardest thing I had ever done, from giving up drinking to stopping smoking to breaking up, which, frankly, I was fairly good at. While I live the four steps of deliberate creating almost every day now, if it hadn't been for that 30-day introductory program that I designed for myself, I truly doubt that I would have continued. Those first 30 days gave me such an enormous head start into learning how to take charge of and control my energy flow that I've just about blasted every major fear I've ever had, known and unknown, out of my life. Oh, sure, I'm still a little skitsy about driving on icy roads, so I only do it when I'm sure I'm feeling okay. And I still have some trouble speaking up for myself in intimate situations, so I only do it when I know my valve is open. Then it's a breeze. I sometimes lock my doors if that's going to make me feel better on down days, but genuine fear of break-ins is simply non-existent. And money? It's cascading in now with ease, and has been for quite some time. But I found out early on in my program that money would come in or stay away in direct proportion to my energy flow. When no money was coming in, I had to do a lot more of what I call flip switching, the rapid altering of one's energy from negative to positive. I had to find ways to get me out of whatever worry habit I'd been in and open up that valve. Then, as long as I kept my valve even a little more open than closed, money would come, but only in proportion to how much feel-good energy I could muster. Sure, I still focused negatively, but only for a brief time, for a few moments, a couple of hours. Sometimes even a day or two if I really want to feel like old times. But then I've had enough and turn myself back around. I am simply no longer willing to sacrifice all my wants and dreams and well-being for self-indulgent negative feeling over some stupid negative event. But old dog, young dog, or somewhere in between, there is not one reason under the sun, not one excuse in this whole universe why you can't do this too if you really want to. A freedom of life is waiting for you that is beyond any capacity I have to describe, a freedom so unnaturally extraordinary that one can only know it through the joy of living it. I'm talking about total personal freedom, freedom from boredom or monotony, from needing to prove or justify, from needing to need, freedom from anxiety and from all the imprisoning shoulds of life we have so staunchly placed upon ourselves. I'm talking about the freedom to exist as we desire, the freedom to acquire, to be outrageous, to prosper, and even to excel if that's a desire. I'm talking about creating your own utopia, not next year, not in the next decade, but now. I was speaking recently about the law of attraction and deliberate creating at a rather large 12-step gathering with folks in recovery, and found a fascinating dichotomy. On one hand, there was eager acceptance of the principles, even a little twinge of excitement. Yet on the other hand, there was this obvious fear of letting go of the need to need. One gal said, "I think what you're saying is very exciting, but you've overlooked one thing. I need to keep coming to these meetings for my own growth. I need these people or I'll go under. I didn't have my valve open when I came 6 years ago, and it was these people who helped me to get it open. If I leave now, well, I'd be afraid to do that. I'd be afraid to be out on my own like that." Well, clearly her valve was not open. This gal's addiction to fear had long ago turned into a need. Her fear had become her fix. Like she was saying, or like she might be saying, "Give me the keys to happiness, but don't you dare take away my insecurities or I'll feel stripped and vulnerable." That's just our ever-present need to need. Another guy said at that same meeting, "I don't see how you can feel better without regurgitating," those were his exact words, all the horror we had to go through growing up. Yeah, well, there's that habit of negative thinking turned into a need. Our need for emotional pain to feel alive, or even for mild discomfort, is the greatest addiction ever known to mankind. Granted, we'll probably never stop having negative reaction because contrast is what physicality is all about. But we most certainly can learn to allow the contrast, our likes and dislikes, without having to feel and flow so much negativity. But I hadn't learned any of this yet, so when interest rates went up and my prolific mortgage business all but vanished, I went totally ballistic. With my focus glued to the declining market and my rapidly declining bank account, I anxiously cast a gaze to my upcoming infomercial that was almost ready to air. Surely this would pull me out of my financial mess. Surely this would save me. Surely there would be enough orders for this remarkable program to ensure that venture and me would survive. And of course, all of this before the law of attraction had come to me. As had been true for most of my life, my addiction to problems once again became my security blanket. Never once did I write a new script. I didn't know I could. All I did was lose sleep, drink too much coffee, yell at the dogs, and become more and more terrified over the vast sums of money I had spent, alongside of the sizable sums that were not coming in. Then came the what-ifs. What if the infomercial didn't work? What if I had spent the equivalent of 5 years' income and didn't receive enough orders to continue? How would I manage to make a living again? How would I, what could I, what if, what if, what if? Once again, I was creating a powerfully charged, very magnetic, and very negative vortex that was getting bigger by the second with each fearful thought that I'd project. Well, the half-hour commercial aired over an extended weekend in 20 different markets from Hawaii to New York and every place in between. I don't have to tell you what happened. There's not a want in the universe that could have made it through the thick vibrations of my don't wants that were pleading, I don't want this thing to fail. Oh, please, I don't want this thing to fail. The size of the disaster sent me deeper than ever into fear. For 3 frantic months, I ran around like a chicken with his head cut off in the Hyosilver mode, my valve slammed shut, trying desperately to generate some income while maintaining a constant focus on my train of things unwanted. Never once did I let go of my unceasing blame of and anxiety over conditions. All of them. The market, the lack of savings, the lack of income, the TV disaster, the production bills still due. I did not like what I was looking at. Needless to say, the harder I looked, the more of it I got. Finally, in answer to my anguished cries for help, I guess the universe took pity on me and slipped in some assistance on a sort of take it or leave it basis. Not big dollars, in fact, not any dollars, not new ideas, not even people to help, just some teachings. And the principles of the law of attraction had been unceremoniously dumped in my lap.